streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
What's up, everybody? It's the Junkyard Dogcast. I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7. With me, Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell, also of Dogs 24/7. We are live from Indianapolis, Indiana, site of the national championship game, Georgia and Alabama. We all know it's coming up. And as you can see right here over my shoulder, it'll be, I don't know how you guys are seeing me, but for me, it's over my right shoulder. For you guys, it's probably the left. That's Lucas Oil Stadium. That's where it's all going to go down. And it's a big old football barn, basically. It's not a dome. It's indoors, but it's not a dome. It's just a house. It's a big house for football. And interested to see what it looks like on the inside and get in there, probably be in there about 26 hours from now. And we're just going to talk about this game. We're going to talk about kind of what we've seen in Indianapolis thus far and things of that nature. And Rusty, you got in yesterday. And Kip, going to throw the same thing to you here in just a second. But you got in yesterday. What are you seeing? What's it like down here? What have you thought about all this?
I actually drove up, and you know, I thought about, you know, I went 75 to Nashville or 24 to Nashville, 65 basically the rest of the way. And man, there was a ton of Georgia fans. I would imagine today, talking to some of my buddies who are on the road. You know, it's a ton of Georgia fans coming here. I would not be surprised if this is not a 70-30 split. To be honest with you, 60-40. I mean, based off what we've seen, again, it doesn't matter because the game's not played in the stands. But and we saw that in 2018. You know, there was a lot. There was a lot more Georgia fans than Alabama, I thought. But you know, if people ask about that, so there's definitely a ton of Georgia fans here. You know, we saw the streets last night, and you know, everywhere. I went down to the lobby this morning and. Seems everywhere I'm at, and I'm not staying in a team hotel. This is the media hotel, so, I mean, there's a ton of Georgia people here, man.
Yeah, there are, and, you know, you don't have to go very far back to figure out that the split in the stands doesn't mean a whole lot because you looked in the fourth quarter of that SEC championship game, and there weren't a ton of people left in that stadium because all the Georgia fans had left, or a lot of them had, and you could tell when that happened that was a primarily Georgia crowd. This one looks like it's going to be the same. There was primarily a Michigan crowd at the Orange Bowl, and Georgia kind of took care of business there. So, Kip, what's your thoughts on Indianapolis thus far, the energy, the vibe?
Well, it's pretty brisk, I'll tell you that much. I think
Should have been here on Friday. I am telling you what, I got backhanded in the face by Father Cold. It was the coldest temperatures I've ever felt.
I kind of got the brunt of it in Louisville. I had the pit stop in Louisville on the way here, and I'm going to tell you, that was rough. It was rough out there in the streets. The town was kind of quiet, and I could see why. I mean, there was a ton of snow dumped on, you know, Nashville all the way up to, through Kentucky. And so that kind of set me up. It actually is a little bit warmer here than it was in Louisville. But still, once you start seeing a one or a two is the first number in the temperature. It's just a different atmosphere than, you know, we're used to as far as covering Georgia and probably most national championship, you know, fans. It's definitely different. I like the setup as far as everything's pretty walkable. I mean, that skywalk is super clutch. I'll tell you that much so far, but I think Rusty, you know, he's right. It's definitely flipped from Miami so far. It's 60-70% Georgia fans out there. And I mean, why wouldn't it be? Because, you know, one fan base has obviously experienced, you know, being on the winning end of this several times. And the other fan base just want to know what it feels like. So, I mean, it makes sense that once again, Georgia would travel for a big game like this. And I think, you know, it's kind of just that slow buildup right now. That's, you know, the slow calm before the storm. I know that probably a lot of people are starting to get, you know, the nerves are starting to catch up to a lot of people. But I mean, everyone's been enjoying themselves. I think a lot of good food, a lot of good eating to be had here. And The restaurant selection is definitely championship level.
Yeah, it's a cool place. Like I said, the weather hasn't been amazing, but you know, I was here in September of 2017 before Georgia played Notre Dame, and it was a lot more walkable, a lot more, you know, to get out and do. And it's a cool place, and these people definitely know how to host you. I mean, they definitely know how to do this type of thing. All the Final Four stuff they've done here. All of, you know, this is the convention capital of the United States, basically. And you can tell why, like Kip said, their tunnels, their, you know, their skywalks, there's all sorts of stuff to get where you're going. I went for a little jog run first thing this morning, and I got my first big city splash. Dude just hit a puddle and just went, I'm talking about all over, you know, from head to toe. And I had to traipse back into this real nice hotel soaking wet. But yeah, the energy's been pretty cool here, especially with the weather. You know, last night, you know, I was out for just a little bit and, you know, saw some, you know, there were some bars rocking and rolling, see some Georgia fans, even in some rainy weather, kind of up and down the street. And interested to see, you know, kind of how this game goes. And let's break that part of it down. And, you know, Rusty, we saw this. We saw these two teams almost exactly out of it as they are. Georgia's probably a little healthier than they were in the SEC championship game. Alabama, maybe a little, you know, lack health, you know, a little below average as far as health goes. What has been your kind of prevailing thought day after day as you've thought about this game?
You know, I'm not really a baseball guy. I love the Braves. I watch the Braves. But as far as getting to analysis of baseball, I don't try to act like somebody I'm not. But I look at this game as facing a number one pitcher. I mean, you faced him for seven innings already. You know, how do you adjust the second time you see this guy? You know, when you look at Bryce Young and you look at Alabama's game plan, I mean, you got a whole tape of how they successfully, you know, got into you pretty good. They got into a defense that nobody else has been. So, you know, Georgia has to make adjustments. You can't bring the same game plan to face a number one pitcher and expect different results, because he'll do what he's done to you before. So both schools are going to make a few changes. I do agree that, you know, Mechie, the game was a little bit different when John Mechie was out. And then you look at Job not playing as far, you know, at corner. So you got some experience there that's not going to be there for Alabama. But, you know, I think, Jake, it comes down to Georgia's got to score points. They're not gonna suffocate Alabama. They're not going to smother Alabama, because they got too many weapons and they got a quarterback that's playing right now at a high level. So Georgia's got to score points. The offense played tremendous against Michigan, but this will be a different type of you know, scheme against them, obviously with a dynamic pass rusher and a defensive line. So for me, it's how the adjustments are made. Can they get pressure on Bryce Young? And, you know, do they win some 50-50 battles out on the edge? And, you know, Brock Bowers, I think somebody said he got 16 targets. Was that correct? He had 16 targets in the first game? 60. Jake's on mute right there, but 16 targets.
Yeah, I believe it was 15, but yeah.
15 targets. So, yeah. You got to get the ball to Bowers. You know, George Pickens has got to make some plays in here. You got to win some 50-50 battles out on the edge. And the last thing I'll say real quick is Georgia's got to tackle Brian Robinson. They're playing a healthy Brian Robinson. This is a guy that gets a lot of yards after contact. So can they shut the running game down? And really, we can break this thing down a million times, but there's a tremendous amount of pro Sunday players on both teams. It's going to come down to individual battles. Can Jordan Davis win his battle? Can Devontae Wyatt win his battle? You know, can Trayvon Walker play like he did against Michigan? Can they get pressure to Bryce Young? I think is the most important thing from the Georgia perspective going in this game, because if they don't get pressure on Bryce Young, they're not beating Alabama again.
There's no doubt about it. And one of the questions I have is, do you sacrifice, and I've never seen Georgia do this under Kirby Smart. This is something they don't do. Do you sacrifice a little bit of that gap control and run defense to maybe take some shots on early downs? Because Alabama, you look at the first time around, they really kind of abandoned the RPO and the play action stuff. They just dropped back and threw it. They put him in a 3-5-step drop and they said, sling it. Will Georgia take some chances on those early downs and try to get pressure when Alabama's trying to throw and run situations, and maybe make themselves a little bit more vulnerable to the run and kind of live with it a little bit? Because that's something that Georgia just doesn't do very often. Kip, same question to you. Prevailing thought throughout this whole week, throughout the whole, I guess, 9 days between this and Michigan game, about this Georgia-Alabama rematch?
Well, there's not really a huge personnel difference in this game. And I think you look back at the other game, I don't think it was really a coaching game plan. I think, you know, a lot of people are wondering why Georgia didn't bring more pressure. Why did Georgia not do what LSU or Auburn did against Alabama? And I just don't really think it was, you know, it was really a game plan issue. It was just the execution of the guys in the field. I mean, we keep going back to the fact that there are several blown coverages out there, you know, and the fact that they have the players and the personnel to be able to get pressure on Bryce Young. It really boils down to, you know, can these guys live up to their billing and play up to their potential? And that's really what has to happen in this game in order for Georgia to win. I think Georgia is going to sell out more to put pressure on Bryce Young, because it's really the only way Georgia's defense is able to slow him down. I mean, if he's able to stay there and stay in the clean pocket, he's just going to pick Georgia apart. And I think Alabama's going to try to use a quick passing game again to keep Georgia's defensive personnel on the field. They're going to run they're going to keep their same wideouts out there and try to use the passing game as their run game to get down the field and to keep Bryce Young from having to make any decisions under pressure. For Georgia, I mean, you're going to have to dial it up a little bit more and just be okay with whatever the results are. So in that situation, I mean, it comes down to Georgia's personnel getting home. Nolan Smith, I mean, he brought it up himself. I mean, that pivotal play in the SEC championship game, him not, you know, falling on the ball before Bryce Young's able to get it. That's one of those plays that you cannot miss. Those opportunities aren't going to come a lot, because even when Bryce Young is pressured, he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the country in that situation. He just comes down a notch from maybe being a Superman to, you know, just being a really, really good quarterback. But that's what Georgia needs to happen. They need to bring him down a notch to be able to keep pace with them and to be able to stay on schedule for their own offense.
One thing I want to bring up before we go into a break, a guy on our board, Law Dog, I think Law Dog 49 is his name. He brought up a thing about John Metchie that kind of, you know, resonated with me. You know, John Metchie had 94, 97 yards in that first half against Georgia. And like Rusty said, Georgia had a lot more success against Alabama in that second half. It was really that first drive where Alabama dialed up a double move to Jamison Williams, and then that was basically it for the scoring in the second half for Alabama on offense. I think they put together a field goal drive. But – John Metchie, I think losing him maybe hurts Alabama in a different way, and it's that extension of the run game, the screen game, the swing passes. He's a really good blocker. He's a really physical football player, and, you know, I hate that he's hurt. I really do, but we have to talk about how that impacts this game, and that's something that I think might, you know, change a little bit in this game. Maybe it's a little tougher for Alabama to extend that run game with passes behind the line of scrimmage. And that's something that I've been thinking about, you know, here, you know, in the last few hours since he posted that, because that really brought up a really good point, I thought. Let's take a break. Smoke them if you got them, and we'll come back on the other side.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
What if I told you imaginary friends are real?
This is just so exciting.
Now, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.
I want to answer a question here real quick. Kenneth Clayton says, is the no-huddle offense concerning for Georgia? It's concerning if you can't get stops. I mean, it's concerning if you can't get off the football field. Listen, I hear all the time, and it's kind of frustrating because, you know, I feel like football falls out of being a team game these days with everybody kind of having an opinion and wanting somebody to blame. If a defense is struggling to get – if a defense loses time of possession and it's tired, you can bet they played a role in that. more often than not, they played a role in that by not getting third down stops. You can't just sit there and give them up and give them up. So, you know, that's something that Georgia's going to have to do in this game. I didn't think the no huddle was that big of a deal in the first matchup. I see a lot of people bringing it up. I think at the end of the day, Georgia was just busting coverages when they had a chance to get off the field on three downs or they had a chance to get off the field on five downs. And you can't do that. You're hurting yourself there, and there's nothing the offense can do for you in that particular situation. It can extend its own drives and help you out, and Georgia didn't do the greatest job of that either, but the defense plays a role in getting itself off the field on third down and preventing the ability preventing the other team's ability to wear you down. All right, guys, time to make picks, and Kip, you're up. What you got?
All right, let's go. Well, I mean, you bring up a great point. Obviously, third down for Georgia, getting that defense off the field. I mean, the time of possession, Georgia had the ball over 30 minutes in that game. I mean, that's what you want. They had the opportunities, but you can't let Alabama go 7-14 on third down. And obviously, you cannot have two trips to the red zone and not come away with points. I mean, that's crucial for this game. So, I really think that they're going to stick with the offensive game plan that got them there, which is really winning on first and second down. I mean, you put Stetson Bennett in situations where he's able to make plays on first and second down, all is going to be well in the world for Georgia's offense. I think this is going to be a big game for Jermaine Burton. I think he's the guy that I think really steps up in this game because, like we said, both teams are going to make adjustments. I think Alabama, they knew what Brock Bowers could do going into that game, and he still did it anyway. He's going to make a couple plays, but I think they are going to, they're going to make sure that they have more coverage on him, more responsibility, and it's going to open it up for Jermaine Burton. It's really, Stetson's got to be able to see the field, got to be able to see Jermaine Burton getting open, because I think he's got the ability to get open multiple times in this game. The matchups are there for them. So I think he has an opportunity to have a big game. I mean, it might not be over 100 yards, but, hey, if he has six or seven catches for 78 yards and two touchdowns, it probably means that, Georgia's doing pretty well offensively. And
he's probably the MVP.
Yeah, exactly. It's just one of those games where I think the over-under was like 51-52. It's right around there. I think maybe they have a slight over, but I don't think either team gets to 30 in this game. I got Georgia winning this game 28-24. I think if you can keep Alabama to kicking a field goal here or there, that's a win for you offensively. And it's really going to come down to those third downs. Nolan Smith's got to get home in this game. So does Jalen Carter. I think those are guys that are going to, be primed for big gains because, they weren't able to get to him and bring him down in that last game. So I think they have some success this time. Georgia's still the more talented team in this game. It's all about going out there and executing.
Rusty, where do you want to go? You want to go last? You want to go now?
No, man.
I don't want to mess your pick up.
Yeah, I think we're going to be different on this one. You think more about this game, and these guys are competitors. These guys are alpha males, the top of the top players, and from both teams, obviously. And this is clearly the two best teams in the country this year. They're going to meet for a second time. You look at Georgia and everything, you start talking about all these guys. Jordan Davis came back. Devontae Wyatt came back. I mean, these guys came back for a game like this. They actually came back to the SEC Championship. I'm not trying to diminish that game, but they got whipped. And they got whipped. And they got ran out of the building in their own state. So when I look at stuff like that, and life is with competitors, just like that sometimes. You're not going to win every one. It's how you react afterwards. How do you react? And what I saw out of Georgia versus Michigan was a domination of a focused football team. Jake, you and I both heard the things to where there wasn't great practices before Christmas. So I was thinking, man, is this team – did they check out? Did they check out after the Alabama loss? Did it deflate them? Did it take life out of them? Because we kept hearing things were not looking well. They all of a sudden they get to Miami, they get a little juice, get energy. The game gets closer to, and this Georgia team was extremely focused. I feel like that carries over. And I feel like you get a team that gets a second chance, and you don't get a second chance a lot of times in sports. And they're going to get a second chance at this team. And in this game, you know, people keep asking me, how in the world is Georgia favored? You know, Alabama or Georgia, neither one have anything to do with that spread. Those spreads are made by experts for sure. You look at those buildings in Vegas, and they know what they're doing. Now, they do miss from time to time, but I agree with Kip. On paper, this is a more talented team, because I'll tell you right now, this is a very young Alabama team. Next year, they are going to be, you know what to deal with. And they've already picking up players in the portal. You know, if Georgia's going to get the win and kind of end this streak, to me, it's tomorrow. I think things are lined up pretty well for them. They're healthy. They've seen an Alabama game plan against them, and I know that they're going to tweak some things. Alabama obviously will. But at the end of the day, you were successful doing certain things. So I go back and look at that Georgia-Auburn game and how Georgia adjusted in that SEC championship and some of the things they did there. So I just think the advantage on some of those things are with Georgia. I love Bryce Young. I think Bryce Young is an absolute superstar. I think Mel Kiper said yesterday if he were to come out this year, he'd be the number one pick in the draft, and I don't doubt that at all. I mean, this guy's best playing days are still ahead of him. So they got to get to him. We'll see what Dan Lanning and those guys have dialed up. I loved, before the Michigan game, I loved the matchup of Jermaine Burton on the outside. I have a feeling in this game, and you got to, if George Pickens is healthy, it's time to get him touches. And I'm not talking about a 30-yard bomb and a 3-yard out. I'm talking about 6 or 8 touches and let this guy make plays and do what he does, because they're going to have a lot of focus on Brock Bowers. You know, can George Pickens be that guy? Jermaine Burton certainly is going to have their attention. So we'll see. Darnell Washington was kind of a mismatch with their linebackers last game, caught a couple balls. So to me, the one thing that worries me a little bit if I'm Georgia facing Bama this time is Brian Robinson, because I'm telling you, man, he's physical. And they're going to have to get him to the ground. And we'll see. I think Georgia needs to stick with a run a little bit more this time. Stetson Bennett, you know, he made, I think, one really, really bad throw in that game and last time, and had a couple balls that were not accurate. But other than that, this is your guy. He gives you your best opportunity. He has every opportunity in the world to – has all the confidence in the world coming off that Michigan game. So he's seen Alabama too. I know people don't want to hear this, but it's going to be another nail-biter to me. I mean, it could come down to a last possession. It could come down to a kick. I just think things this time are lining up a little bit different to get that second look at Alabama in one season, which is very rare. I'm going to go Georgia 31, Alabama 30.
It's a close one. That's a close one. That'll be a fun one to cover. Listen, I like this Georgia team a lot. I really do. I like this Georgia team even more after kind of the way they bounced back against Michigan. I like the intangibles for Georgia going into this game, the rematch, the humiliation, the hurt they felt last time. I think all that's going to be fresh. But I go back to 2012, first Georgia game, first Georgia-Alabama game I ever picked, because it was the first Georgia-Alabama game I was ever in the media for. The 2012 Georgia-Alabama SEC championship game, I picked Georgia. 15 at home, I picked Georgia. 17, 18, 20, pick Georgia. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick Alabama this time. Maybe it's – listen, maybe I'm doing you a favor, okay? Maybe I'm doing you guys a favor. Maybe I have the same juju on the dogs as I do the Braves.
Braves.
I need to see it. I need to see Georgia continue to land punches, you know, in four quarters. The thing that stands out to me in this game, listen, I know this is not necessarily an indicator of things to come, but we've seen it four times now. Alabama has outscored Georgia 41-7 in the fourth quarter. Georgia's led for a large portion of, if you put the minutes together, Georgia has led for a large portion of those four games. But Alabama has outscored Georgia 41-7 in the fourth quarter. Georgia's got to flip that script. Until they do, I'm just not necessarily going to buy into it. I said after the SEC championship game privately, if Georgia played them again, I wasn't going to pick Georgia, and I'm just going to stick to that. I'm going to say the exact same score that Kip said, just different teams. Alabama 28, Georgia 24. But I will say this, if Georgia wins this football game, not going to surprise me, but if Georgia wins this football game, it's going to be one of two guys, Nolan Smith or Trayvon Walker, having a big game. And I think that's going to, especially if Georgia holds them, if Georgia holds them to, you know, in the 20s, one of those guys is going to have a very good football game. And I think that's going to be it. But yeah, I'm just going to say I'm doing you Georgia fans a favor. You know, I'm a Georgia graduate. This is a job now. I'm kind of like, boy, Stetson Bennett hit it on the head the other day when he talked about being a player and how, you know, being a fan goes out the door. Listen, when you're a reporter, same thing happens. You just kind of, the fan just, you know, seeps right out of you. You know, and obviously I'd love to see Georgia win this game. You know, I'd love to cover a national championship football team and to see all the people that subscribe to us and listen to this podcast and listen to this and view this live YouTube show be happy. I'd love to see that. And maybe that happens. Maybe I've given you the reverse curse, the juju or whatever you need to come out on top in this game. But I do think Georgia's going to need a very good pass rush, and it's going to have to be a one-on-one type deal. There's going to have to be, like Rusty said, some guys are going to have to win battles up front. Georgia's got guys capable of doing that. All right, guys, before we let you go, it's the last time before the last game. Anything you want to say?
It's here. It's been a great season. I did a radio interview this morning and talked about Georgia and where Georgia is as a program. I don't know that Georgia's ever had 5 years like this, what they've won. Now, they did win a national championship in 1980, but the amount of games they've won, they've won a Rose Bowl, they've won an Orange Bowl, they won a Sugar Bowl, they won a New Year's Day 6 Bowl. I mean, this is just year, what, 6 of Kirby Smart, year 5, what, whatever,
six.
Year 6, yeah, season 6. So, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on Georgia to win a national championship, but the direction this program is going and what they've done, there's only one team they got to beat. They got a chance to do it tomorrow night again. But if you take a step back and look what Kirby Smart has done, I don't know that Georgia's ever had 5 years like this, the wins and things like this. This is Georgia's roster is built. So this isn't a one and done, but they've got to beat that team that they have not been able to yet.
Absolutely. Kip, anything?
Yeah, I mean, Kirby Smart's 46 years old. They just added another addition to the recruiting class over the weekend officially in Ernest Green, a top 50 offensive tackle. That was a huge need in the class. You look at the class they got coming in, and obviously they're going to have some guys leave in the portal. They're going to get some guys in the portal, and they'll probably have, what, 10 to 12 guys drafted off this year's team. But, I mean, that's the recipe. The blueprint is locked in, and Kirby has this program rolling. So I know that tomorrow's game is obviously the only thing people are thinking about right now, but I think you got to sit back and look and say, we had 2 title shots in 5 years, and we're set up to have more title shots in the next 5 years. And so for Georgia, this is exactly what you want. It really is about going out there and executing and sticking to their game plan. I think Georgia's got the roster to do that this year. They're set up as well as they can be to win this game against Alabama, and they're set up as well as any program in the country to continue to play in this game moving forward.
Yep, I couldn't have said it better myself. You know, I know the pain, if it doesn't work out for you, is going to be bad. We'll burn that bridge when we get there. But, you know, a lot more good than bad with Georgia football right now, and a heck of a football season, and it'll all come to a head tomorrow night, 8:15 Eastern time, inside of that dome right there behind me. Not that dome, that football barn right there behind me. But for this episode of the Junkyard Dogcast, I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7, the Rusty Mansell, and Kip Adams from the same place. Y'all take it easy.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.